You might want to talk about this as well, because a Welsh bus company has started charging dogs £1 for every trip. Mid Wales Travel is facing the growls of angry owners after it introduced the tickets, which cost twice as much as a child's fare. Woof justice, you might say. The firm says it's responding to complaints from other passengers about too many dogs on board. But is a bus or a train really a suitable place for a pet? If you see a dog or a cat being carried on a bus or a train, does it make you smile? Or do you worry about hygiene, about the hairs being left on the seats? I wonder. 0500 909 693 on the phones, or text us on 85058. Let's get a word with the journalist and broadcaster Graham Swain. Graham, good evening to you.
Good evening, Adrian. Nice to speak to you again.
Yeah, nice to speak to you. How do you feel about it when you see a dog or a cat on a bus or a train?
Well, there's a number of issues here. First of all, Wales aren't the first place to do this. There's quite a few other authorities that are already charged for this service. Oh, yeah, there's Nottingham, Yorkshire County Council, Cornwall. They charge 50 pence a day, and Scottish City League charge £1 for a dog, or any pet actually. But the thing about it is, it's also not very fair to the animals in certain situations. I mean, I live in London, for instance, and they bring them on the underground in the rush hour. Now, that can't be fair to an animal, let alone the hygiene situation, because they're surrounded. If you've ever been on the underground in the rush hour, it's sardine can time. Now, where does a dog go? He's down below with all the ankles, and if they get agitated, they start nipping ankles, don't they?
So do you think essentially a bus or a train or a tube is no place for a dog or a cat?
I don't really. I mean, yes, blind dogs, yes, of course they're acceptable. They're properly trained, they're properly screened to be the right temperament, etc., etc. But also, we get into the murky waters of the Dangerous Dogs Act, and what is a safe dog and what isn't a safe dog? Because London Transport, for instance, in London, they do allow you to take dogs on the train, provided they are safe, trustworthy dogs. They've got suitable terminology for that. But because of the Dangerous Dogs Act, we don't really know what is a dangerous dog and what isn't, because that was a very vague act in the first place.
Graham, stay there. Julie Hill is from Dogcast Radio. Julie, a bus,
hi, Adrian.
A train, no place for a dog, no place for a cat, really.
I'm not sure about cats. I think they'd have to be in a carrier. I wouldn't like to see somebody with one under their arm, but, you know, maybe...
Might be on a lead.
Well, you never know. I think you've
people
got to take
do.
It...
Go on.
I mean, you've got to take it by the dog and the cat. Yes, there will be some who won't enjoy being, you know, in a confined space with lots of other people. I mean, my Labrador would be in heaven if he was on the underground with lots of people to smell and meet and, you know, make a fuss of. I think what we need is consistency. If you look on the forums, dog owners are confused. They don't know whether they can take the dog on or not. Some drivers will turn them away, some won't. So we need policies from transport companies, so we know where we stand.
Well, there could be one very simple policy, couldn't there? And that could be that apart from guide dogs, all dogs are banned on public transport. That would make it absolutely clear.
Julie, where do you... Yes. Where do you... He said, where do you sit? Where do you sit in terms of dogs sitting on seats?
Well, I think in a public place like that, they'd have to stay on the ground. Because, as you say, some people might not like them on the chairs. Well, can I just say one thing?
Smelly bottoms as well, haven't they?
Now, if we're going to get into smelly and or misbehaving, there's some people that aren't going to make the grade, aren't they?
Yeah, but at least they've got something around their bottoms.
Well, true, true. No, I think they should be on the grade. Can I just say, it's not just guide dogs that we need to be talking about, that they have to have access. It's assistance dogs. There's a whole range of dogs, hearing dogs, mobility dogs, you know, that have to have, legally have to have that access.
Well, that's accepted, but they are trained properly and screened properly to find the most suitable.
We're talking about the other ones, Julie.
We're talking about the other ones.
Yeah, no, but you said guide dogs. It's assistance dogs.
Yeah.
I do think that for dog owners, it's not, you know, it's not a right that we can demand. And if we do have the right to take them on, if companies, you know, and the public will let us take them on, which I can't see why not, we have to be the best ambassadors we can be for dog ownership. So all the problems that you've got with it, we should address.
We should have
a clean dog. We should have a dog that's wormed and, dewormed and defleed, that behaves properly, that, you know, if it poops, we pick it up. We scoop it. We need to take responsibility for our dogs and make sure they're not a nuisance to anybody.
But Julie, the problem we know is that the sort of people that will exploit the ruling of allowing animals on any sort of public transport are the sort of people that aren't responsible in the first place. They're exactly the same people that are in the public parks when I'm running and they're slobbering monsters come up and nibble around my ankles and I have to stand stock still and ask them politely to take it away and then get a mouthful of abuse. Because the law is so murky and grey about what is a dangerous dog, you can't define what should be muzzled and what shouldn't be muzzled. That's one of the problems.
Well, you see, I think most dogs are safe dogs. I I think the headlines betray, you know, and you know, the words like devil dogs are, you know, banded around. The majority of dogs, that's why we love them so much. That's why that relationship has lasted thousands of years, because they're brilliant. They fit in with our lives, you know, and they're good for us in so many ways.
You love them so much, though, Julie, but not everybody does, do you? And it's sort of a bit of a cheek to impose your love of dogs on other travellers, isn't it?
Well, some people might say it's a bit of a cheek for other people to impose their misbehaving children on them when they're on public transport. So there's all kinds of preferences. I do think we need consistency from the companies. We need well thought through policies that they've consulted the public on, so that the majority of people will get, you know, something that suits them. But, you know, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying at all that people, dog owners, should go out and inflict their animals on people that don't want them. That's exactly what I'm saying. We should be responsible for them, so they're not going and bothering other people or wandering around and wagging their tails on people. They should be well behaved. You know, my dogs have done, for example, the Good Citizen scheme with the Kennel Club.
But there's two other issues that come to mind, Julie. Mm-hmm. One is safety, health and welfare, and also fire hazards. Now, if a bus has a crash, a train has a crash, those dogs will panic, and they're not intelligent beings like we are to work out the best way of getting out of these situations. They're going to create a hazard. That's number one. And number two, what about the welfare of the dogs? Because I've been on the underground in London sometimes in a manic rush hour, and the dogs are panicking. They're surrounded by people. They're used to wide open spaces. They're not used to being, you know, in a very close, confined space with lots of people. They can't see where they are. They've got bodies above them. They're hot. They're bothered. They want a drink. It's very unhealthy for the dogs. Because certain dogs have a nervous disposition, aren't they? They're not all the same. That's why they screen dogs for blind people, and that is to have the right temperament. I've seen some dogs really in apoplexy on the underground and buses in London. Where do you stand on that?
I haven't seen that myself. I think most dogs would welcome being around people, and as long as their own person was there. Obviously, if the dog isn't happy, then yes, I wouldn't, you know, I think that's wrong if the dog owner is putting their own needs first. But in general, you know, dogs are intelligent and they do know what normal behaviour is. And as long as they're socialised, I mean, that's a point I would make. If you're going to take your dog on public transport, get it used to it as early as possible. You know, get it out there and seeing what is normal for your life. So it will be happy doing it. But I think most dogs wouldn't, you know, be exhibiting the behaviour that you're talking about. Most dogs like being around people.
Not when they're congested.
Can I hear a dog in the background there, Julie?
That's my border collie.
Was he barking agreement?
Well,
bring him on.
Yeah, let's have a see what the dog's opinion is. But also, Adrian, like, one of the other things, where are we going to draw the line? I mean, if you remember, there was a report in The Sun last year where a gentleman got on a bus with a sheep. And the bus driver turned him off and made him walk 6 miles home. So, I mean, if there's an animal, it's as intelligent as a dog, you might ask. So why can't that come on?
Well,
we're back to the third world. We're on aeroplanes where I've been flying with chickens and goats on the next seat.
Graham, we'll throw it out there. Thank you for introducing the sheep element to the conversation. Graham Swain and Julie Hill with us discussing whether or not we should allow animals on public transport. Not sheep generally, but dogs, cats. Do you think a bus or a train or a tube is any place for an animal? What do you reckon? 0500 909